And that's our very next guest, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. And well, we have a wide variety of different topics to get into with you today, but I want to begin with something that was at least a little bit surprising to me, and that was the XFL's opening weekend success. Now, maybe we should take that with a grain of salt, because the AAF last year got out to a nice start, outdrawing the NBA with its television ratings, and then, of course, we all know the end result there. But from a handicapping perspective, do you think what the XFL has done so far and the action that it's gotten is attainable or sustainable?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, people want to bet on anything they can find these days, and right now they're finding the XFL. And, you know, it was pretty interesting last week because we saw a lot of the totals move up, the game totals, the you know, total points for the final score. A lot of those moved up, and I think some people kind of expected more. They expected a little bit of a faster-paced game with the running clock and some of the other clock rules that were going on. And the games wound up going 3-1 to the under on the closing number. So we'll see what happens here this week. Adjustments have been made. The betting lines have been changed a little bit. They've opened a little bit higher this week for the totals. So I guess we'll see what happens, because we're still all learning about this league.
We are still learning about this league for sure, and it seems like there's at least a healthy chunk of interest in it. I know that that could certainly wane a little bit as fans continue to watch this, and maybe they lose some of that intrigue as we get deeper into the spring and there are other things to divert their attention, whether it be the NBA or March Madness or, of course, Major League Baseball opening up here in about 6 weeks' time. How much of that do you think will factor in as far as the action that these games will get?
Well, I think two things need to happen. I think one is that the product needs to get better. I mean, last week, you know, there were a lot of low-efficiency quarterbacks, a lot of very low-efficiency offenses. We had fewer than 5 yards per play overall for week one of the league. So the gameplay needs to get better, in particular at the quarterback position. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, struggling at the outset makes sense. These two teams were just, or these eight teams were just kind of thrown together. Not a whole lot of practice time. I think there was only 1 week of quote-unquote preseason games, you know, scrimmages, basically. So timing's going to be a little bit of an issue for all of these teams here at the outset. So first and foremost, the gameplay needs to get better. And second, I think we kind of need to figure out what's actually happening here. As a general rule, the more high variance the betting market, the better off that the sharper guys are going to be. That wasn't necessarily the case last week. And you know, there just isn't a whole lot of predictability right now. So we're still trying to figure out, you know, who these teams are, who the personnel is. And, of course, injury reports have been a little bit tough to come by. Last week, Josh Johnson didn't play. Landry Jones didn't play. This week, Landry Jones is supposed to play. But a guy like Brandon Silvers, he got hurt late in the game last week. He may not play here. So, you know, just one of those things where we're just kind of waiting for some level of stability with these teams, the players, and also the output.
Well, transitioning out of the XFL and going into the NBA, this is All-Star Weekend, and it's a weekend full of events as well. Have you seen any interesting props out there available, not just for the game, but also the slam dunk, three-point, and, of course, the skills competition?
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff out there. You know, which player specifically is going to win the skills challenge? You've got Spencer Dinwiddie. He's plus 390. He's got the lowest price out there on the board. You can bet which division the winner will come from. You can bet which conference the winner will come from. Obviously, the same things here for the three-point contest and the dunk contest as well. The only one that I've really kind of taken a look at here so far, Davis Bertans, he's plus 450 to win the three-point shooting contest. Trey Young is in this, Duncan Robinson, Joe Harris, the guy that obviously we're familiar with around here, Devin Booker, Buddy Hield, a lot of good shooters in this one, but I think Bertans at plus 450 has got the best value.
That's always an interesting weekend. The game itself, I think, in many cases, leaves a lot to be desired, but I still do enjoy NBA All-Star Weekend, and that Saturday is always chock full of some pretty cool events. Well, what wasn't a cool event was earlier today when we got the news that Mike Clevinger is going to be sidelined at least for a little while and probably won't see much action in spring training with the torn meniscus. How much do you think that's going to affect the Tribe's projected win total early on?
Well, so far we haven't seen a move on the actual number itself, but we have seen some juice added to the under, which I'm now seeing in a lot of places, minus 130, minus 140. Under 87, 87 and a half, there are some 86 and a halves out there as well. You know, this was already a team that the court of public opinion wasn't very high on. They've done nothing really of consequence this winter, although, you know, Hernandez is an upgrade at second base, and maybe Domingo Santana can provide some pop for him. But, you know, really all the talk has been negative. The trade rumors for Lindor, the trade of Corey Kluber that, you know, people call a salary dump. The court of public opinion has been very low on this team anyway. So I was expecting their season win total line to come down as we go throughout spring training here. Now, not having Clevinger into probably early to mid-May, I would guess, he's probably going to miss anywhere from 6 to 8 starts. How much of an impact that has from a season win total standpoint, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it's that high. But again, the Indians are now in a position where if another starter gets hurt, then it really becomes a big issue. Once you start getting cluster injuries, those are the things that really have an impact in the betting market. So Clevinger on his own probably lowers their win total, maybe a win and a half when all is said and done. But another injury in particular, obviously if it was Shane Bieber, the bottom would kind of fall out of that win total line.
One more baseball topic before we transition into some college hoops. Baseball has some rumors floating around out there about some potential changes to their postseason. It would increase the number of teams that make it to the postseason. You'd also get a bye for the top teams in both the AL and the NL. Your thoughts on baseball's rumored changes to the playoffs?
In general, I'm not a real big fan. I mean, you know, what happens with the more teams that you add to the playoffs, the more you kind of water it down. And obviously we see that here in the NBA to be sure. And the NHL is a little bit different just because there's so much more parity. But if we wind up with 14 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams in the playoffs, you're going to have some teams that probably don't deserve to be there. And they're going to get lucky. And they're going to wind up beating a team that's a legitimate World Series contender. And you think back to last season, you know, Houston would have gotten the bye. New York would have had to play in that first round. And they probably would have wound up playing the Red Sox. And they were 19 games better than the Red Sox last season. And anything can happen in a 3-game sample size. So I'm not really a huge fan of this idea. I think basically the only change that I would make is to make the wild card round 3 games. I think a 1-game playoff after you play 162 and you scratch and claw to get there, I don't think that's enough. I think they should play at least 3 in the wild card round, then maybe kind of figure it out from there. Maybe the division series goes to 7 games, something like that. But I'm not real keen on adding teams or on teams being able to handpick who they want to play.
Boom. Amen to all of that, my friend, especially on the point of increasing the playoff field size. I just don't think it's really worth it to add more teams into the playoff mix, make the regular season worth a little something extra, and make it so that not half of the field ends up getting in. Could not agree more on that point especially. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll transition now into the weekend full of some very interesting college basketball games, and we'll begin tonight. St. Bonaventure taking on Davidson. Who do you like here and why?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting game here because you've got a Davidson team that just hasn't lived up to the preseason expectations. You've got a St. Bonaventure team playing very, very well here of late. They've ripped off 5 in a row. The interesting thing about this game is that both of these teams are very, very efficient offensively, but we've got a low total on this game in the low 130s because they both play at extremely slow tempos. St. Bonaventure actually playing slower than Davidson here, and typically the better team, and usually the home team, winds up dictating the pace of the game a little bit more. So St. Bonaventure can probably slow this one down. They're a better defensive team than Davidson. And if you've got a limited number of possessions, which is what is expected in this game, the two teams are pretty equal offensively, but Bonaventure is better on defense. They've actually played pretty well when they've stepped up in class. Davidson's beaten a lot of bad teams, struggled with the good teams. I like Bonaventure here tonight, -4.
Well, tomorrow, the big matchup, Baylor taking on WVU. As you detailed earlier this week, this is a big week for WVU because they've got Kansas and Baylor. So this is a huge, huge week and weekend for WVU. Who do you like in that matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, you look at West Virginia, and you know it wasn't a real great showing against Kansas earlier in the week, and that was at home too. They got held to 49 points, only had .736 points per possession, their lowest output of the season to this point. But Baylor, you know, I don't think that West Virginia matches up well against Baylor. Baylor is almost as good on the offensive glass as West Virginia is. They're almost as good defensively, and they're much better offensively. And for West Virginia here, there are two recipes to pulling an upset, especially over a top five caliber team like Baylor. One is taking care of the basketball. Two is making threes. They're 291st in the country out of 353 teams in turnover percentage on offense, and they're 309th out of the 353 teams in three-point percentage. So I just don't think that this is a good spot for West Virginia. I don't think that this sets up particularly well. And if you're looking for Baylor to maybe get knocked off, they host Kansas next Saturday. Kansas lost at home to Baylor earlier on in the year. I think that's the bigger worry for Baylor. I think they take care of business here against the Mountaineers this weekend.
And then we close out on this. I mean, I think a lot of the basketball talk on Sunday will be dominated by the NBA All-Star game. However, you detailed this earlier in the week when you went through and you spoke of every single day of the week in college basketball. No matter who San Diego State plays, they're always going to have a target on their back. Well, they take on Boise State this coming Sunday. Can Boise State pose any kind of a problem against San Diego State?
I certainly think there's a chance. I mean, you know, for San Diego State, the longer you're undefeated, the more difficult it becomes, because it's not even necessarily about who you're playing. You're kind of playing a mental game against yourself because you're trying to hold to this standard of perfection. That's very, very difficult to do. We saw Nevada have problems with that here in the Mountain West Conference over the last couple of years. We know it's something that Gonzaga has occasionally struggled with a little bit in the West Coast Conference. The problem here is that Boise State just isn't good enough defensively. They're 330th in the country in two-point percentage defense, and San Diego State has just been stunningly efficient offensively here this season, defensively as well. I don't think Boise State has enough to get by San Diego State here, but I do think there's a chance that they can cover the spread. They're probably going to be getting about 8 or 8.5 points at home here. Boise State likes to push the pace. If they get San Diego State to go up and down the floor a little bit, as they did in the first game, which was played to 68 possessions, that may help the Broncos a little bit here. So I think they can make this game close for comfort. I don't think that they ultimately win it. But again, with each passing day here for San Diego State, with that zero next to their name in the loss column, I just think it gets tougher and tougher.
February is such a fun month. These conference races heat up. You've got the conference tournaments coming up at the end of the month. And, of course, we are just about a month away from March Madness. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Imagine that, man. Sunday, 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday. The college basketball season just flying by.
It always does. It always does. Adam, thank you as always.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks, Adam. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.